Amen. I'm glad the God who holds me holds it all. And God is in control. Thank the Lord for that truth. Psalm chapter 23, if you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
And I love this particular psalm, the 23rd psalm. I suppose when you look at the 23rd psalm, one of the things I've realized is that it deals with all of life's harsh realities. I suppose that's probably why it's the most well-known psalm in the scriptures, because it's a place where all of us live at different points in our life. Verse number 2, we see that since we tend to be restless, we need to be made to rest, and so he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Since we tend to fall, we need to be restored. So verse 3, the Bible says, he restoreth my soul. Since we tend to go astray, in verse 4, or in verse number 3, at the end of verse 3, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In the right paths. He helps me go the right way. This is where we live at. And there's another place we live often, though none of us want to live in this place. It's a place that our shepherd finds us and helps us. And that is in the valleys of lives, of our life. All of us are going to face valleys. All of us are going to go through low points in our life. There's no escaping it. And the 23rd Psalm addresses even those deep, dark places that we sometimes will frequent in our life. It's interesting to me, as you read the 23rd Psalm, up to this point in the Psalm, it's been pretty happy, is the word that I would use. Everything's been quiet and peaceful. There's been green pastures and still waters. There's been a patient shepherd putting up with us when we make mistakes. All of these things have been true. And yet sometimes our shepherd must lead us through the valley. Don't you understand something? A lot of times we look at a psalm like this and we get confused about what the scripture's talking about. When the shepherd, David, was writing this psalm, God used a man who understood what it was to take care of sheep. And all the way through this psalm, he has in mind a shepherd taking care of his sheep. Now, we read verse number 4. It's a familiar verse of Scripture, one that I'm sure many of you could quote today. And yet I think that sometimes we miss the point of the verse. I want you to read verse 4 with me out loud together. Verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And when the psalmist here speaks of the valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, what is it that he's referring to? Because to really understand this passage of Scripture, we're going to have to consider what exactly is being addressed. And, you know, for most people, they like to use this verse to speak to someone who is facing death. This is a psalm that, of course, is quoted on many deathbeds and at many funerals. And I have done my fair share of that same thing. And while that may be a good application for this verse of Scripture, it is not the interpretation of what the psalmist is talking about. So what is he talking about? Remember, the 23rd Psalm is about how a shepherd cares for his sheep. And more than David is talking about dying, he's talking about living, about keeping his sheep alive, about caring for his sheep. And so when David talks about the valley here, it is a pastoral reference or a shepherd's reference to the way that he cares for his sheep. And this is not something I really understood before I really started digging into Psalm 23. That from the beginning of Psalm 23 to the end, what is taking place is it's describing a year in the life of a shepherd caring for a sheep. And it starts down in the low range during the winter and spring, where all the cattle is at home on the range, and they are having plenty of pasture there and plenty of things around in that place. But as the year progresses, eventually the time comes for the shepherd to lead his sheep up into the high country, to their summer range. And it wasn't until I moved out to Colorado that I experienced my first cattle drive, okay? Now, I wasn't driving the cattle. That would be hilarious, I'm sure, if you saw me doing that, all right? But I was, it's the actually, I think, the only what do you call that? I can't even remember what it's called right now. Traffic jam. It's been so long since I've been in one, okay? The only traffic jam we have around here is usually when there's an accident or there's a cattle drive going on, okay? And so it's commonplace for cattle, for sheep, for them to be taken by their owners up into the high country during the summer months to find some fresh pasture. And the shepherd will often lead his sheep up into those mountain ranges by way of the ravines, by way of the valleys, because they're the easiest route to take. Now, today we have paved roads. We have things they didn't have back when the Bible was written. But one man who shepherded for many years, he said this. He said, every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and gulches and draws. And the best route to the top is always along these valleys. The valley is the way with the gentlest grade and the most water. And as precarious as it may be, the shepherd knows that the best way to the mountaintop is through the valley. And I say this to you this morning as we introduce this text of Scripture. In order to get to the mountaintops of life, your shepherd must lead you through the valleys. Now that isn't comfortable. That's not a place where any of us want to be. But it is through the valleys of life that your shepherd is going to lead you to the ultimate place that he desires for you to go. And the shepherd knows that it is only through the valleys that he can get you to the mountaintops of his blessings. You look down in your notes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And the Apostle Paul says, don't be surprised. Don't think it's a strange thing when you go through valleys. Going into a valley, or right in the midst of it at this exact moment. They're part of life. We know it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to encourage our hearts, whether it is to prepare us for the next valley or to sustain us in the valley we find ourselves in. I pray that you would encourage our hearts and give us what we need from the truth of your word today. I pray for power to preach, clarity of thought and heart to communicate the truth of your word. Let me not say one word that you do not want spoken, and only those words that you want communicated, because there's so much richness here. And I need wisdom to know how to communicate it. And I pray for this, and I pray for every person here. You'd speak to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Three realities about how your shepherd wants to secure you through the valleys of life. Number one, I want you to write this down. He guides you through the valley. He guides you through the valley. Now, if you look, after you write that down, if you look back up at the end of verse number three, at the end of verse number three, the Bible says that he, the shepherd, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Understand, when your shepherd's leading you, he's leading you in the right paths. But sometimes the right path for you is the last path that you want to take. Sometimes the right way that the shepherd knows you need to go is not the way that you want to go. And our shepherd knows that what is best, our shepherd knows what is best for us, and because he knows what's best for us, he will sometimes lead us through those places that we would rather not go, through the dark valleys. So the Bible says in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So we look at this particular part of the verse. I want you to notice, first of all, your pace in the valley. As your shepherd guides you through, I want you to take note of your pace through the valley. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk." Now, valleys are, up in the mountain areas especially, they're very ominous and fearsome places. It takes much longer for the sun to be able to shine down in the lower places in the valleys. There are unseen dangers potentially lurking behind every rock and every bush that casts a shadow, and it can rise up fears within your heart when you're going through that kind of place. And when you're walking through a valley in darkness, the last thing that you want to do is walk. I don't know about you, but when I'm in those kinds of places up in the mountains, I'd rather just go ahead and hustle on by. When you go through a valley, what your tendency is to want to do is to run. is to hasten, is to get beyond it as fast as humanly possible. And yet the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley. You know why the sheep can walk through the valley? The sheep can walk through the valley because they know the shepherd is there to keep them secure. That's why they can walk through the valley. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, to walk indicates the steady advance of a soul which knows its road, knows its end, and resolves to follow the path, feels quite safe, and is therefore perfectly calm and composed. Now, there have been many times in my life I've been walking somewhere and I felt like there was something around me that made me want to walk faster. All right? There are many times I've been out in the woods and encountered a bear or a mountain lion and thought, you know what, I'm going to get out of here really fast, okay? And all of us know what that feeling is like. And when we go into the valleys of life, our tendency is to want to run frantically and out of fear. But the shepherd gives us the ability, even in the midst of the valley, to just walk on through because he's going to take care of us. In the midst of your valley today, can I ask you, are you walking or you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off? Because that's our tendency when we go into the valleys of life. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We see your pace through the valley. But the second thing I want you to see is your passage through the valley. Notice your passage through the valley. See, the Bible says, yea, though I walk, and what's the next word? Through the valley. Understand this, he does not lead you to the valley. He only leads you through the valley. In other words, the valley is not your destination. It is just a place you're passing through on your way to somewhere the shepherd needs you to go. A place that is better for you. And on the other side of the valley, the shepherd has a much better place in store for you. I read in the notebook of Harold Barker, who was a preacher from yesteryear, this story. He said that on a certain day, he was in a place and he saw a painting that portrayed a large boat laden with cattle that were being ferried across an angry, swollen river in the time of a storm. And the artist had so cleverly pictured the dark, threatening clouds and the treacherous, jagged lightning of the storm. Immediately, he concluded when he saw this painting, he concluded that the freight of the poor cattle was marked for destruction. They were going to die. But then he read the title of the painting. And it struck him. And he said that the title of this painting was simply called Changing Pastures. So those cattle were being ferried across the water. And their owners were taking them. And as difficult as it might have seemed in that situation, when you looked at the picture, all it was trying to portray was they were just changing pastures. Some of you, with the valley you're going through right now, it may not feel like it right now because you may feel stuck. You may feel like, I'm never going to get out of this. You may feel like I'm never going to be delivered from this. But listen to me. God is taking you not to the valley, but through the valley. You're just changing pastures, and he's got greener pastures on the other side for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And it proceeds to talk about all the different varying seasons of life. And in verse number 11, it comes to this conclusion. And it says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. I tell you something, God knows what he's doing. And the shepherd who has led you to this valley will lead you through this valley. He will not keep you there. He has a place he's trying to lead you to. We see your pace through the valley. We see your passage through the valley. But the third truth I want you to see is your perspective of the valley. I want you to consider with me your perspective of the valley. Now look again at verse 4 with me. It says, yea, though I walk through, and read the next phrase with me, the valley of the shadow of death. Now notice, it's not called the valley of death. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. That's a significant phrase. Nobody is afraid of a shadow. Well, maybe some of you have been and could prove me wrong with that. Well, no one who understands that it is a shadow should be afraid of a shadow. A shadow presents no real risk to you. The shadow of a dog cannot bite you, all right? The shadow of a snake cannot strike you. The shadow of death cannot hurt you. It cannot overcome you. It's just a shadow. And I love this because Jesus, through his finished work, has taken the real threat of death that is a real threat to all of us, and rendered it to be nothing but a shadow. Nothing but something that cannot really harm those of us who have believed in Christ as our Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And verse 57 goes on to say, But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We no longer have to fear death, because death only casts the shadow, and the shadow is not real. It is not a real threat. And if we don't have to fear death, I propose to you that as believers, nothing else that casts a shadow over your soul, you need fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen to me, if I don't have to fear death, I really don't have to fear anything. The old story is told about John R. Ice. He was in Chicago preaching at a meeting. And while he was there, he was walking down the street of Chicago and some robbers stopped him and tried to mug him. And they said, give me your wallet or I'll kill you. And he just looked at them and he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Well, that's power right there, I'll tell you. That might not have been the best response, but you know what? He walked away from that circumstance. You know, I don't have to fear death. I really don't have a lot of things I have to fear anymore, because I know my shepherd's going to take care of me. And that's such an important thing. Now, you may look at your circumstance today, and it may feel very fearsome. It may feel like something you're not going to be able to overcome. But understand, no matter what you face on this side of eternity, no matter what kind of shadow may be cast over your circumstance, the Lord Jesus can deliver you from it. Now, I find this interesting. Shadows can be very deceptive things. They can make you think things that aren't true. They can make something look bigger than it actually is, or make something look smaller than it actually is. And they can make you believe that there is danger when there actually is not danger. So I want you to think about this with me. What is a shadow? Well, the dictionary says this. It says, a shadow is a dark area formed where light source is blocked by an object. And so for me to be in something's shadow, there has to be something in front of me blocking the light. If you think about your circumstance today, the Lord Jesus, His Word, wants to shine light on your soul. But so often what we allow to happen is we allow for something to come in between us and our shepherd. We allow for something to come between us and our source of light, and it casts a shadow upon us. And so what do? You need to remove the object that is keeping you from the light and allow the truth of the light to shine to your soul. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, He said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. And so you may be you may have a shadow cast on your soul. It may be a health scare that you're facing right now. It may be a bill that you're not sure how you're going to pay it. It may be your child and you're concerned about their circumstance. You're concerned about their friends. You're concerned about something that's going on with your child. There may be an object. There may be something in your life. You're allowing it to come between you and your shepherd, and it's casting a shadow on your soul. But understand something. If you will shine the light of God's truth upon whatever that circumstance might be in your life, He can chase away the darkness and bring you peace and bring you security, because no matter what valley you walk through, He is there to sustain you through it. He goes with you, or I should say, your shepherd guides you through the valley, and He wants to guide you. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Will you let your shepherd guide you through the valley today? You're not going to be there forever. Will you stop trying to figure it out for yourself? Will you stop being a captive to your fear? And will you just let your shepherd lead you through? Your shepherd guides you through the valley. The second truth I want you to see is that your shepherd goes with you through the valley. He goes with you through the valley. See, the Bible says, though I walk through the valley, it goes on to say, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. What a great promise. For thou, God, my shepherd, art with me. Dinner, and his mom asked him to go into the pantry and get her the can of tomato soup. And Johnny said, I don't want to go in there. It's dark in there. I'm scared. And his mom was insistent. He said, you're going to go in there and you're going to get me a can of tomato soup. And so he goes over to the pantry, but he came back to his mom and said, Mom, I can't do it. I'm too scared. It's too dark in there. And she said, okay, honey, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you when you go in there. And so he thought, well, if Jesus is going to be in there, that'll be all right. He goes over to the pantry and he opens the door to the pantry. He looks inside. It's dark inside there. He shuts the door again and he steps back, and then he got a great idea. And he just said into the pantry, Jesus, since you're in there, you mind handing me that can of tomato soup? Now, I think that's how all of us would like to approach the valleys, right? Jesus, you go ahead and go on in there for me and give me what I need, and I'll meet you on the other side. I think that's how most of us would like to handle the valleys of life, but that's not how it works. See, there's some things we got to learn in the valley as we go with it through him that we can learn in no other way in life. And though the valley can be a very frightening place, the Bible tells us that the sheep walk through it unperturbed, unbothered, not scared, because their shepherd is with them every step of the way. And note this down. Listen to me on this. It is the faith of the sheep in their shepherd that overcomes their fear. I say it again. It is the faith of the sheep in their shepherd that overcomes their fear. See, they don't know what lies ahead in the valley. They don't know what dangers they might face as they go through the valley, but what they do know is that their shepherd has gone before them, their shepherd is leading them, and that their shepherd is there for them to protect them and guide them every single step of the way. And let me talk to you about faith for a minute, because we as the Lord's sheep need to hear this loud and clear. Faith is not being able to see how it all is going to work out, but believing in the one who can see. Faith is not being able to know the exact way you're supposed to go, but believing the word of the one who does know the way to go, and that he'll tell you which way to go. That's what faith looks like. It's simply trusting in the Lord, even when you can't see what's going to happen, even when you don't know how it all is going to work out. Here's how the Bible puts it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things that you cannot see. No, I can't see what's going to happen as I go through the valley. I know I have a God who's leading me and protecting me who can see, and I'm going to trust him. And that's what faith looks like. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the little child out at sea in the storm is not frightened like all the other passengers on board the vessel. He is asleep in his mother's bosom. And so it should be enough for the believer to know that Christ is with him in the midst of the storm. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so the shepherd's presence in the midst of your valley is all the security that you need. You don't have to know how it's going to work out. You don't have to know how that health trial is going to pan out. You don't have to know how that bill is going to be paid. You don't have to know exactly when or how your child might be brought back to the Lord. But I will tell you this. If you just trust the shepherd, he can lead you through this dark valley. And he wants to. He goes with you through the valley. Oh, but there's one more thing I want you to see about this. As we consider the fact that the shepherd goes with us through the valley, there's something I had never noticed before that would just bless my heart so much this week. There's a striking change in the point of view at this particular point in this psalm. You see, up to this point, the psalmist has been speaking of the shepherd in the third person, you know, if you know your English language. But it's here in verse number 4 that he starts referring to the shepherd in the first person. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 2. Verse 2, it says, he maketh me. It goes down a little bit further and says, he leadeth me. In verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now that's the third person. Speaking of the shepherd as he. But you go to verse number 4, notice how it changes. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil for, and what word does he use?
Thou.
You. Not he. You are with me. Now, I want you to understand this. As you look at the change of language, there's a change in relationship for the sheep with the shepherd at this point. You see, he describes his experience with the shepherd. It has now become very personal, very intimate in the midst of the valley. And speaking from a shepherd's perspective, Philip Keller, whose book has been such a blessing to me as I've gone through this series, he wrote this. He said this when he would take his sheep through dark valleys. This is what he said. He said, during this time in the valley, the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd. They are in intimate contact with him and under his most personal attention day and night. This is what I want to get across to you. You will never have a time in your life when you are closer to your shepherd than when you go through the valleys. The valleys have a way of removing all the distractions. The valleys have a way of removing all the other things that really don't matter, because all you can do is depend on your shepherd to lead you through. He's the only one you've got. And it draws you so much closer to him. In the valleys of life, you'll come to know God in a way that you never knew him before. Listen to me. It's in the valleys of life you learn things like God is good even when your circumstance is not. In the valleys of life, you learn things like God is in control even when it's out of your hands and you can do nothing to change your circumstance. In the valleys of life, you learn that God is with you even if it feels like nobody else is. In the valleys, you get much closer to your shepherd. Now, many of you know that we have 5 children, and our kids aren't very old yet, but they're getting old enough to where I'm learning new things that I never knew before. And one of the things I have learned from having older kids is that all of a sudden they don't always want to be close to me. Now that hurts my feelings. The older they get, they'd rather spend time with friends. They'd rather be doing something else than be with their dear old daddy. All right. Now Jack's still young. He sees dad and he's like, "Dad." All right. But the older ones, not so much. And I guess that's part of life, right? That's part of their growing up. But even at the age they're at, and even though they don't always seem like they want to be with me, you let pain come, you let something fearful come, you let a problem come, and here they come running to mom or dad. There's nowhere else they'd rather be. They want to be close to me again. And that's special. And that's also our experience with our shepherd. Sometimes we go through life, and we can be very independent. We can live like we don't need God, but let a problem come, let a valley come, and it brings us quickly back to our shepherd. I like what Psalm chapter 46 in verses 1-3 says. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God is a very present help for us. And thank God that he goes with us through the valleys. Thank God that he guides us through the valleys. But the final truth, the final reality I want you to see this morning is that he guards you through the valley. He guards you through the valley. The last part of verse number 4, read it out loud with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In these words, there are 2 reasons for comfort that are given to us here, the rod and the staff. Now, the rod and the staff are 2 very distinct tools with 2 very different uses. I've never been a farmer, a shepherd, rancher, any of these types of things. But so I learned something in studying these 2 things. I think we have a picture of the rod and the staff. We could throw that up for everybody. But the rod is a relatively short, heavy club, a lot like a tool that is used by the shepherd. And then the staff is a longer and thinner tool with a hook or crook at the end of it. Usually, we think of a shepherd's staff. Not a lot of us think of a shepherd also having a rod. But he has a rod, and he has a staff. And in speaking of these 2 tools, the Lord is using these tools to teach us something about how he guards us as we go through the valleys of life. And so write this down first. The rod symbolizes God's word. The rod symbolizes God's word. Now, Keller, in his commentary, he noted that there are 3 particular uses that a shepherd would have for a rod. And in each one of those uses, I find it interesting how it relates, how God's word ministers to us in our lives. So note these down. Number 1, the rod is used to count the sheep. The rod is used to count the sheep. A shepherd will take his rod and examine the sheep. Several times in the Old Testament, there is a reference given to cattle passing under the rod. How many of you heard that before? Passing under the rod. It's used in many places in the Old Testament. And he would allow for every one of his sheep to go under his rod as a way of counting them. A way of counting every one of the sheep to make sure that one of them wasn't missing. Usually they would build a gate or a fold when they're on the ranch in the winter and spring times of year. And every evening he would lead his sheep back into this gate. And they would each one pass under his rod. And so he knew that not one of them was missing. Here's why this is encouraging for you and I today. Listen, this is so good. Listen to me on this. God takes count of every one of his sheep. Let me make it more personal. God takes count of you. He knows where you are. He's keeping track of you. He cares enough for you to make sure that you are where you're supposed to be. John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He says, "I know them." You are not just another sheep and a multitude of sheep. God knows you individually. He knows you personally. And with his rod, with his word being cast over your life, he wants you to understand how important you are to him. Because when you're in the middle of the valley, that's when you feel like you're forgotten. That's when you feel like you don't matter. But in the midst of your valley, your shepherd wants you to know, I still know right where you're at. I still care about you. The rod was used to count the sheep. Now, something else I think is interesting about this is not only does God take count of us, but God also takes account of us. And when the shepherd would take the rod over every one of those sheep, sometimes as he ran it through their wool, he would notice some type of wound or insect that was causing them harm. A lot of times, the rod of the shepherd would also be used to expose anything that was not right on any of his sheep. And for you and I, as we consider our great shepherd, what he does for us, God often takes his word, his rod, and casts it over our lives to reveal anything there that does not belong, anything there that's not right. For the word of God is alive, quick, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. Neither is there anything that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. And with his word, he often will go over our lives to show us anything there that does not belong. Listen to me. If you come to church on Sunday and God convicts your heart about something that isn't right, you ought to thank your shepherd. He cares for you. He wants to help you. The rod is used to count the sheep. A second thing I see is that the rod is used to correct the sheep. It's used to correct the sheep. A shepherd often will use his rod to get his sheep back on the right way. And I heard the story about one shepherd. There was a sheep who was going out, actually literally going out of the way. And apparently this is a common thing for shepherds to do, especially during this time period of history. But he literally would throw his rod at his sheep, not to hurt them, but to divert them back to the right way. And that was a common thing for, that's a common thing for the shepherd to do with his sheep. He uses his rod to correct them sometimes when it's necessary. When you have a rebellious, wayward sheep, sometimes the shepherd will take the rod and literally break its leg so he can teach it to depend on him. And sometimes that's what a shepherd must do. And I'll say this, God often uses his word in the same way to correct us and to reprove us when we start to go astray. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God wants to use his word to reprove you, sometimes to correct you. By the way, if your shepherd loves you so much to tell you you're wrong, you ought to be thankful for that too. Because he knows the way you're going isn't going to be good for you. The rod is used to count the sheep. The rod is used to correct the sheep. A third thing I see is that the rod was used to cover the sheep. To cover the sheep. Or we could say protect the sheep. Of course, most of us, if we were to look at the rod and say, yeah, what we would say what that was supposed to be used for, we probably would all have come to the conclusion that the shepherd uses the rod to fight off the predators. Any of those coyotes or those wolves or those bears or those stray dogs that come in and try to take one of the sheep, the shepherd would use the rod to fight them off. And that was an important instrument that was used. Of course, David, in addition to the rod, he also had a sling that he used. He liked to hit them from longer distances, apparently. All right. And I like the hunting references in the Bible there. But the shepherd will use those to protect the sheep. In much the same way, our good shepherd wants to use his word to protect us as his sheep. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." When Jesus, as a man, as God in the flesh, faced temptation, he demonstrated to us how to do it successfully. And three times when he was tempted of Satan, he came back with the same response, "It is written." He used the word of God every time. Because the word of God is our protection against the attacks of the enemy. See, his rod comforts me. The fact that I have the word. You know, you imagine what life would be like if we didn't have a Bible? I came to this conclusion the other day. Somebody was talking to me about Job and how hard it must have been for Job. And the thought occurred to me, Job had no Bible. All the things Job went through, the valley he walked through, he didn't have what we have. How blessed are we when we go through the difficult times of life that we can turn to the Word and it will protect us and it will correct us when we're wrong and it will assure us that our shepherd cares for us and he's there for us. Thank God for the rod. His rod comforts me. But not only do we see the rod, we see the staff as well. And write this down. The staff symbolizes God's Spirit. The staff symbolizes God's Spirit. And when we look at the use of the shepherd's staff, once again, we learn a couple lessons about how God uses his Spirit to minister to our lives as our good shepherd. Number one, note this down, the staff is used to draw the sheep close. The staff is used to draw close. And the most endearing part of the staff is that little crooked edge at the end of the staff. And yes, that crooked edge can be used if a sheep falls down into a ravine to pull them back up. But a lot of times, the shepherd doesn't want to have to chase after his sheep all the time, and so he'll just extend that staff out, and he'll grab the sheep, and he'll pull them closer to himself. So he can inspect them, so he can care for them, so he can make sure that they're okay. And in much the same way, the Spirit of God acts as a drawing agent for the Father to draw us closer to the Lord. The Bible says, and Revelation 22 and verse number 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely." Jesus said in John's gospel that the Father would draw all those who are supposed to be saved to himself. How does he do that? He draws people through the work of his Holy Spirit in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit acts as that drawing agent. And boy, as we go through the valleys of life, I'm so thankful that often the shepherd will extend out his staff and say, "Won't you just come closer to me?" But not only does the shepherd draw the sheep closer to himself with the staff, but the shepherd will also use the staff to draw the sheep closer to each other. See, it's when the sheep get off by themselves and estranged from everyone else that they put themselves at great risk of being attacked, of being put into danger. So sometimes the shepherd must draw the sheep in, not just to be close to him, but to be close to all the other sheep. And even so, the Spirit of God acts as an agent to draw us together in oneness as the body of Christ. See, the Bible tells us in Matthew 18 that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And those of you that have been around the church for very long, you know it as well as I do. There is a sweet spirit that exists when God's people get together. And the Spirit of God is working in our midst. I don't think there's anything closer to heaven than a group of Spirit-filled believers gathering in a place like this, worshiping the Lord together, God speaking to our hearts. It is a sweet thing made possible, all because our good shepherd draws us together with his staff. And his Spirit brings us together in unison, and we praise God for that. And so the staff is used to draw close. But the final thing I want you to see is that the staff is used to direct. To direct. Now, the shepherd will often use his staff as they're walking along the path, not to harshly correct the sheep, but to gently correct the sheep And I'm told that when they're guiding the sheep along, a lot of times if they don't have sheepdogs to do this, the shepherd will just take his staff, if a sheep starts to step out of line, and just gently tap it and say, no, go back over that way. And it reminds me of how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts as well. There's many times that we just start to veer off course a little bit, and that little, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts and says, don't do that, dummy. All right? Just gently speaks to our life and says, don't go back over this way. There are many times where I want to do something, and the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to go over and do this. It happened to me yesterday. Right? It had been a very busy day. It started early in the morning, and it was coming into the later afternoon time. I wanted to go home. And in fact, I had just about talked myself into it. The Holy Spirit of God said, no, you need to go make that last visit. And I'm glad I did, because there was a person that got saved. And I praise the Lord for that. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He guides us. He directs us through life. And that's all because of the work of our good shepherd in our life. See, these are things that should comfort us as we go through the valley. The rod, even though it's used to correct, the staff, even though it's used sometimes for negative things, those two things, borne by our good shepherd, bring us comfort because we have a good shepherd who cares enough about us to correct us when we're wrong. We have a good shepherd who cares enough about us to draw us close, as foolish and dirty and filthy and ignorant as we may be. He wants us around, and thank God we have such a good shepherd. And in the middle of your valley today, I want to encourage you, because you've got a good shepherd who wants to carry you through that valley to the mountaintop that lies beyond. And some of you are going through some very difficult valleys today. And I want you to be encouraged by the fact that your shepherd is with you to guide you and to guard you as you pass through this valley on your way to the mountaintop. He's there. And so you're going through a valley today. Would you be willing to trust your good shepherd to lead you through? Final thing I'll tell you is this. The most fearsome valley that every single person will face is death. You see, one day, in quite a literal sense, you will pass through the valley of not just the shadow, but of death. Unless the Lord comes, you will one day die. And that is one of the most fearsome things for all of humanity to have to face. And yet, if you know the Good Shepherd, you need not fear death. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't need to fear death because he gives you eternal life. You can have 100% assurance in your heart that when your eyes close in death, they will open in heaven with the Lord, if you'd be willing to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never done that, I pray today will be the day that you call the Lord your shepherd, and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's all bow our heads together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and with no one looking around, I want to have a few moments to invite you to do something with what God has spoken to your heart about today. Listen to me this morning. How many of you would say, Pastor Bruce, in my heart, I know that the Lord is my shepherd. There's been a day when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm saved. I have that assurance in my heart. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? Many hands all over the room. Thank you for your honesty. Among you that are raising your hands, how many of you say, Pastor, I'm in the middle of a valley right now, and I sure could use prayer from you. Will you pray for me? I'm in the middle of a valley. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're in the middle of a valley today. Many, many hands all over the room. I feel your pain. I don't know what all of you are going through. In the middle of your valley, how you'd say, Pastor Bruce, God has spoken to my heart, and I want to trust my shepherd to guide me, to go with me, and to guard me as I go through this valley. I'm going to stop trusting me. I'm going to start trusting him. Will you please pray for me, Pastor? That's what I want to do. I want to trust my shepherd to lead me through. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that, Pastor? I want to trust the shepherd to lead me through. Very good. Very good. Here's the last question I'll ask you. How many of you would say this morning, Pastor, I don't know if the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know if death were to come knocking on my door, that heaven would be my home. I'm not sure about it. Maybe you think you may, you think you might, but you're just not sure. You say, Pastor, that's me. That's where I'm at. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Will you please pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? I'd like to pray for you. I see your hand. Anyone else? You say, Pastor Bruce, please pray for me. I'm just not sure of that today.